If you need a Bible, there is one in the back. Feel free to grab it and keep it if you don't have one. About that lunch, don't feel like you have to just be a new person. Anybody's welcome to be a part of that. And one of the other reasons why we want to have that is because oftentimes there's questions. You know, hey, what do you guys believe in this? Or what do you believe in that? And we want to make sure that we answer those questions for you. And it's a good opportunity for that. And maybe you've been coming here for a while and you still have questions. So a good opportunity. So make sure, and the only reason we're doing a sign up is to make sure we have enough food for everybody. So please sign up. We're going to continue on with some more of those classes. We're going to be doing, someone put in the box, they wanted to do a home security class. So we'll be doing that one, and then probably do a medical one too. For Brandon, we'll probably be putting that one together. And that's an important one. And don't think that you need it just for yourself. This week, right, I had to call upon Dr. Frank, right over there, to help me. I hurt myself, and I was like, Frank, help me, I'm dying. And I really wasn't, but it was, it was a good, made me feel better to have Frank there to snuggle on and help me through that time. And so, we're going through my van, and I realized my first aid kit was like really old and nasty, and then I was like, oh, I got this other one, and it was quite the adventure. But the point is, hey, be prepared, because you might need to help somebody out, not only just yourself. So Frank has a new name, Dr. Frank, Doctor. So now when you see him, be like, Doctor. All right, good stuff. All right, so grab your Bibles. We're in the book of Colossians as we continue to march through this book, this letter to this church that Paul had never visited. He did not know. He's sending this letter all based upon a report that he had received. And just typical, Paul answering the same common questions that they had throughout all the churches at that time and the same questions we have today. So this letter is very, very important. It's very relevant for us because it's the same message. Remember, we are in the church age, and so we are still building and still growing together as the body of Christ. So it's very important to understand. Now, last week we talked about Paul was in the middle of Thanksgiving. He was thanking God on the behalf of the Colossians for their faith, for their enduring, understanding that they had the grace and the peace, talking about all these things that he had this report on. Now, in the middle, he's going to take a pause here, and he's going to talk about the preeminence of Christ. And I think that's important for us to remember. We must remember who he is. Now, preeminent means it's surpassing all others in a distinguished way. Okay, that's what that means, that preeminence. You probably have heard that description of Christ before, the preeminency of Christ. Well, it means that his superiorness, if that's a word, it is now, I just made it up. So his surpassing in everything else in a distinct way, that's what that means. And often we forget who Christ is. So we're thankful for him. We're thankful for what he does for us. And often in that time of Thanksgiving, it's important to remember who he is, because we are who we are because he is who he is. Right? None of this is possible unless it's through him. It's because of him. Everything that we have, everything that we have been given, is because of Christ. And that's really important. And so the structure of this letter, in the middle of Thanksgiving, Paul's going to say, let's just take a pause and let's be thankful to the Lord. Why? Because of who he is. And that's what the next three verses is going to deal with. And it's a very important part of the scripture, because oftentimes we forget who Christ is. Our faith is in him and through him. All things are possible because of him, not because of us. We shift it so fast. We get it off of Jesus and we put it upon ourselves. or we put it upon a system or a religion or another person, and we forget, no, it's all about Jesus. Our faith is in Him. Remember, we talked about that faith. That was one of the things that Paul started out with. He says there's saints and then there's faithful brethren, talking about spiritual maturity. And we get faith, our faith is in Him, but we often shift it back to ourselves. Have you ever heard the saying, well, I'm trying to have faith, right? That's in me. The faith is in my ability to have faith. And it's like, well, no. Just have whatever faith you have and give it to God. And then as you grow in that faith, it will grow in Him, right? One of my favorite analogies when speaking about faith is putting a kid at the edge of the swimming pool while you're in the pool and you're like, jump. You're right there. And the little kid's like, ugh. Unless they're my grandkids, and they're like, ah, and you're like, I wasn't even ready. But there's hesitation there, right? And even if they do it a few times, and you catch them, and you show or you prove yourself to be faithful, there's still a little bit of hesitation. And then the next time you go back to the pool and you do the same thing, there's still a little hesitation, right? They got to kind of warm up to it. They got to reacquaint themselves in your faithfulness. Aren't we the same when it comes to God? We're no different than that kid standing at the pool going, yeah, I know you're there. I can see you. Yeah, just come a little closer. Just come a little closer. And it's just like, I don't know. We're just so like Him. But the more we do that, the more we grow in it. Now, who's doing the catching? The parent. And then in our faith, who's doing the catching? God. Do I have any part in it other than the fact that I've got to jump? Right? Same thing is true with Him. And so it's important to understand who He is so that we can develop that faith. All right, so let's pick it up in verse 12 of chapter 1 of Colossians. So giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. There's a lot there. Now, we could pause again and be like, man, we could spend an hour, probably 3 weeks, just on those few verses. But they are so, so important. This is one of the biggest, most important things that you can grab onto in your Christian walk, is knowing who He is. Because our faith is in Him, right? Whosoever shall believe and receive Jesus is the one that's saved. Now, if I don't have faith in the one who is doing the saving, then do I have faith in my salvation? You see, this is also very important. We love Good Friday or Good Wednesday, depending on if you want to be traditional on Friday or if you want to be what the Bible teaches and a little bit more. Wednesday, it's another topic. We can talk about that on Meet the Pastor if you want. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe in the resurrection. And then we stop. Right? We celebrate those times. It's coming upon us here. It'll be here before we know, right? We'll be celebrating and talking about Easter. But do you understand what happens after Easter? When they're all gathered on the shore of Galilee and the heavens opened up and Jesus is received into heaven? There's a picture in that. And it's very important because you see that God the Father accepted Him. And that was a visual display of Him accepting Jesus. Now here's the thing. If I am clothed in His righteousness, that means that God the Father also will what? Accept me, just as He accepted Jesus. Very important. The ascension is a very important piece to the crucifixion and the resurrection. We stop at the resurrection, but there's more. There's also the ascension. The three are very, very, very important. So, in these three verses, we see that God has done three things for man through Christ. Okay? So, we got them up here on the board for you, and here's kind of a little breakout of these three verses. First of all, God has given us an inheritance. God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. And God has redeemed us, forgiven us of our sins. That's the breakout of the verses that we're going to talk about today. So what does this inheritance mean? Well, to inherit something is to be given something that wasn't yours. Like you may have had a loved one or a relative pass on and you inherit what was theirs. It's just all instantly yours. And so that's the important thing. Now check this out. Given thanks to the Father, verse 12, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. So there's a couple things within that verse that we can talk about other than just the inheritance, okay? So we receive it, but check it out, we are not qualified to receive it. So you don't qualify. You didn't earn it. That's the most important thing. You can't earn your salvation. So, check this out. The Father, you might want to underline that, who has qualified. Who does the qualifying? The Father qualifies us. It's the same thing as being clothed with the righteousness of Jesus, right? He paid for the sins. That transaction that happened upon the cross, where he took your sins, there was an exchange there. And because he took on the sins of the world, God, being 100% light, we're going to get to that in a second, cannot be in darkness. Sin is darkness. And so since Jesus took on sin, it's the only time in Scripture where Jesus now references God instead of my Father. Because they cannot coexist. Because he was embodied with the world's sin. And the Father could not be in the presence of the sin. And the world had a visual picture of that. As the Scripture says, when he hung up on the cross, the sky went dark. The light was extinguished. Crazy. See all these little subtleties in the Bible that we read about. And it's like, I wonder why. And it's like, oh. Kind of cool. Isn't the Bible great? Because every time you approach it, you can go another layer deeper. It's living. And so, he exchanged his righteousness with your sin while he was taking that sin. There was a penalty to be paid because he now had the sin. And that penalty is death. And he died in your place. Okay? He paid the price, for the wages of sin is death, Romans tells us. He paid that for you. He paid it. And in exchange, his righteousness was given to you. There was a transaction there, a redemption, that redeeming something. Hey, I have a coupon, right? This coupon is worth 30 cents off of whatever. What do we say? We redeem the coupon. We turn the coupon in for exchange of whatever the value of that coupon is. He is the redeemer. He was redeemed, exchanged for whatever the value of us is, and that is life. Wow. Not no 30 cents. It's actual life. He redeemed his life for yours. And he did it willingly. Okay, so this inheritance you have to be qualified for, and the fact that God did the qualifying through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is what allows us to now be qualified to receive it. Okay, you can also say you have to be prepared, another word for qualified. You have to be fit. Fit, another kind of translation for it. Made fit so that you could receive the inheritance. If you're not a family member, you can't receive the inheritance of a family member who has died, right? You don't qualify. If I were to die and you're not my family, you don't qualify. Kind of an interesting look at it. Part of that purchase is to be now part of the family of God. You're brought in on that as well. Man is not. And why isn't man qualified? Because of the fall of Adam. Adam disqualified the human race, okay, through original, what we call original sin. So, the inheritance that we would receive is now Adam's inheritance, which is a fallen inheritance. And the world is living, every person that is born into this world is born underneath the inheritance of Adam, which is darkness. I'm setting this up for what's to come, okay? All right, so now that we share this with what? We share this inheritance with also the saints, okay? So the partakers that qualify us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Now, the saints, we talked about that last week. It didn't say, notice the words, if you look back over to verse 2, there's to the saints and to the faithful brethren. Interesting, right? Because remember in chapter or verse 2 that we talked about that spiritual maturity? There's a difference between a saint and a faithful brethren. There's a difference. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, everything I just talked about for the past 5 minutes qualifies you as a saint, right? If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you now are a saint. This word saint is hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S, and it simply means to be set free or set apart to live for God. That's what that means. So if you have been redeemed, you have been purchased, you have been set apart to live for God. There's a lot of confusion about what a saint is, right? Especially from a very dominating religion, and they have to go through this huge process of sainthood, and they actually start to worship saints, okay? And if you went to one of those people that are part of that group and said, hey, guess what, I'm a saint, they'd be like, yeah, no. Who made you a saint? Man? Mm-mm. Man doesn't make you a saint. Who makes you a saint? God. God makes you a saint. Right? Crazy. I don't answer to man. I answer to God. Did you know man likes to put a lot of things into play? You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to belong here. You have to belong here. You have to do this. Listen, I don't live by man's words. We live by God's words. And if God says, if I believe that Jesus died for me and I receive him as my Lord and Savior, I am a saint. You guys ever heard of J. Vernon McGee? Right? He used to be on the radio. I think he died in the 80s. But he was on the Bible bus on the radio. And he sounded like he was from somewhere down south, but he was in the middle of downtown Los Angeles. Craziest thing. Right? And he'd say, you're either a saint or you ain't. And that's true. You're either a believer or you're not. Right? And so to be a saint is simply to be a believer. Now, that's interesting because check it out. What qualifies me for this inheritance? Being a faithful brethren or being a saint? Being a saint, yeah. Wow. But we also got to talk about what inheritance are we talking about. The inheritance is eternal life. We're going to get to that in just a second. Now, is there a difference between how shall I live and the rewards that I receive versus how I live, and is there acceptance into heaven? See, no, there's absolutely no difference in that, because the point is I don't earn anything. Bottom line. And in fact, after I have received my salvation, if I am faithful, I am rewarded for those things. But if you turn to the book of Revelation, it's very clear that when you are given those crowns, you simply throw them back, because you understand that you didn't do anything through your own effort. You understand, God, you're giving me something that I don't deserve. I didn't do it. I was only able to do it because you gifted me, because you empowered me for. Oh, and that's a key note. If you're still nervous about trying to do what God has called you to do, it ain't about you. It's about Him. Right? And so you can relax. You can jump in the pool, in the deep end. Well, I can't swim. It doesn't matter. He's there to catch you. He's there. So you're going to throw those crowns right back at Him, because you're going to understand He didn't really do anything. It wasn't about you. So that's what I mean by it doesn't really matter, because it's all about Him anyway. But I will tell you that we are told that as we live on this earth, we will be rewarded and we will be given different jobs. Especially in the millennial kingdom, you'll be given a different job based on your faithfulness here on earth. And there are parables about that, okay? So it's not an entrance into heaven, but it's what you're going to do afterwards. And by the way, I would rather be the lowest, the poorest, the bottom of this in heaven than the highest ranking in hell. For sure, right? But I'm not going to excuse that, because there's a work to be done. So, check that out. That's very important that He says that. He says that. He says it's the saint. The saint is a partaker of this inheritance. And there's a parable about, hey, you know, people come to work at the beginning of the day, then he goes and gets more help at the middle of the day, then he goes and gets more help at the very end of the day, and they're all paid what? The same. Speaking about this, you may have lived 50 years for Jesus, and then somebody that comes in at the last second, they're going to receive that same inheritance. And you're going to be like, no, that's not fair. No, you're not. Because if you have that attitude, you're probably not going to be there to begin with. But it doesn't stop there. There is one kind of description of the saints. Do you see what it is? What are the saints in? They're in light. Yeah. That is also one of the qualifiers that God gives you. Remember I said you're of Adam? And when you're born of Adam, you are in what? Darkness. When you are a believer in Jesus, what we call reborn, and that is spiritually, okay? Spiritually, you were born dead because of the original sin of Adam, okay? When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are reborn spiritually. I like to do this. Adam was spirit, okay? Soul, body. Meaning that the spirit controlled his thoughts, his mind, his emotions, and then the minds and the emotions then control the body. When Adam died, this happened. Now, you're controlled, your body controls your mind and your emotions. And I don't know about your body, but my body is a crybaby. I don't like that. I want this. Whoa. Right? But then when you receive Jesus, it's put back into the right order. And there's a great study. We should do that study again, the makeup of man, and how the body, the physical body, which Jesus says is now the temple of God, is built off of the model, or I should say the tabernacle and the temple is built off of the model of which the body should be. It is a mind-blowing study. It was crazy. Everybody that was a part of that several years ago was they really enjoyed that because it helped us understand the body all through the physical picture of the temple. Pretty crazy. But let's get back to this. So, he is in the light. God is light, yes? 100% light. Therefore, when a person turns his life over to God, he is turning his life over to be in the light. To be in the light. He is to live, he is to move. Everything he thinks, everything he says, everything he does should be in the light. Okay? Meaning, in God. Those words are interchangeable. God is light. So if I'm living in the light, I am living in God. If I'm living in God, how do I describe that? It's living in the light. Walk in the light just as God himself is the light. We get that wonderful picture, even in Revelation, right? God is the light of the world. So therefore, when Christians are called to be the light of the world, that's what that means. To be God in the world, not to be a God, okay? Let's not twist those words around. Bill's saying you're going to be your own God. No. I'm saying to live in the light is to live as God lives in this darkened world. Did you know that's what the word Christian means? Christian means Christ-like. That's why a lot of people, and that's why I'm like, yeah, we're not putting bumper stickers on our cars. I go to this church. Yeah. And I seen you drive. I like to tell people, stop calling yourself a Christian and start living so that the world calls you a Christian. Right? Because there's so much hypocrisy out there. We got the cross necklace, we got the shirt, we got the bumper sticker, and then we're out there shouting at people. We're out there yelling at people. We're out there using our very dark sign language as people drive past us. And people are like, yeah, that's the light of the world right there. Man. But we are called to walk in the light. So a believer is called to be the light of the world. So the point is this. Every saint must live in the light of God. And as you live in the light of God, you'll receive the inheritance of God. But if you are of God, you are of the light. They just go together, church. You can't unbe light if you're a believer in God. Now, we have moments of darkness because we still war against the flesh. Remember the thing of Adam? Did you ever play King of the Hill as a kid? Most of you guys are old enough. I think that game is now outlawed, whatever. We'll play it here. But you remember, right? King of the Hill or, whatever. So I'm on top of the hill and everybody's trying to knock me off and then they're the king of the hill and you're trying to knock them off. Well, that's what happened, right? Remember the fall of Adam? The flesh up here was king of the hill and then we're reborn. Well, guess what? This guy wants back on top. He wants his throne back. And the battle wages. The spirit and the flesh wage in you at all times. You got to make sure you take control of that. Sometimes, as silly as it is, I'll imagine a throne in my mind and in my heart, and I'm like, who's sitting there right now? Yeah, it's me. And then in my mind, again, this is silly, but it works for me, I see myself getting up, stepping aside, and saying, Lord, take your place. You got to do what you got to do. It works for you. But you got to recognize that. So, now, let's talk about this inheritance because there's like 11 things that we receive, and we'll go through these as quickly as possible. So if you got a note pen, I'd write these down if you can. I was going to put them on the screen, but yeah, there's a lot of them. So, plus I want you to stay awake. Just kidding. The first way is we're heirs of eternal life. Okay? These are what we are receiving an inheritance of, the internal light, Titus 3:7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Okay? That's the first and most important thing. We are heirs of salvation. Heirs of salvation. Number two, Hebrews 1:14. Are they all not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Number three, we are heirs of the promises made to Abraham. We are heirs made to the promises of Abraham. Romans 4:13 and also Galatians 3:29. Galatians 3:29 says this, "And if ye be of Christ, them are of Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." Okay? So we are heirs of Abraham. That's kind of crazy right there. Okay? Number four, we are heirs of glory. We are heirs of glory. Romans 8:17. Heirs of glory. "And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Number five, we are heirs of righteousness. Heirs of righteousness. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, okay, remember that word. It's incredible right here. By faith. Hebrews 11 is incredible anyway, talking about faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not yet seen. Remember, he was told about this flood 120 years later. This flood came. Moved with fear, not fear of, oh my goodness, I'm scared, but in reverence to God, because he knew who God was. And if God said something, it was going to happen. Things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is by his good works. No, who said that? Oh, somebody's reading. What does it say? Faith, right, faith. Number six, we are heirs of the grace of life. 1 Peter 3:7. Heirs of the grace of life. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers not be hindered. Number seven, we are heirs of God's very special favor. Very special favor. That is, that we shall stir the praise of his glory. Okay? Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. In whom Christ also we have obtained an inheritance, that we should be the praise of his glory, of her, of who first trusted in Christ. Number eight, we are heirs of the reward of the inheritance and all that it includes. Okay, Colossians 1:12, we're in that verse right now. Giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us fit, or meet, or qualified, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Number nine, we are heirs of the eternal inheritance. Okay, Hebrews 9:15. We are heirs of the eternal inheritance. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, the New Covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that we were under the first testament, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, that which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Number 10, I know this was a lot. Number 10, we are heirs of an immortal and perfect body that we shall be given when Christ returns. Okay? We are going to receive an eternal, perfect body when Christ returns. And we can see that Basically, there's several of them, but 1 Corinthians 15, 50, verse 50 through 54. Okay, there's a lot to that, so we'll just put that one up there, and you could jot that one down. That is number 10, and we'll stop there. I think I said 11, I meant 10. So there's 10 things that we inherit from God through the redemption of Jesus Christ. That's pretty crazy in itself, right? Now listen, if you're an heir, have you received that? Some things we received. Actually, we've received them all. We may not have physically obtained them yet. We haven't obtained that body, but it's there. It's waiting for us to move in. Jesus says, I go and I prepare a house for you. I prepare a body for you. A lot of people think that that is actually a physical house. And you may have heard from some of the other teachings out there that when you do a good work, you put the pool in. I've heard that taught. I just did a good work. I just put the pool in the backyard of my future house. Really? That's sad. He's not talking about that. Okay? He's not talking about that. That's what the inheritance is. And finally, we arrive at verse 13, which is the third thing. Okay? We give thanks because he has made us a partaker of the inheritance. The second one is he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Moving on to that number 2 point of these three. Now, again, pause for just a second and look at what the words say. Guys, this is the greatest exercise you could ever do, right? Is don't just look at the Bible. Don't just read the Bible. Study it. Observe it. Understand it. Okay? This is important. Remember what he talks about in Colossians? To grow in the knowledge of God? And the warning was that was a warning against false teachers. When people throw things out at you and you don't quite know the Word of God, you're like, amen, I just put the pool in. No. You should be like, hmm. And sometimes I'll do that, right? I just did a little bit ago. Said something wrong and you're like, it's not what it says. I do that on purpose because I want you paying attention. I want you looking at the Word. I'm not trying to misteach you. I'm trying to engage with you. I sent this picture to the elders, and I love it. I love it because it's a picture of soldiers already in a battle array, right? And it says, you know, church isn't entertaining an audience. It's equipping an army. And I'm like, oh, that's so, we got to print that and put that somewhere. That's so cool. Because you're an army. You're a soldier of the light. And in Ephesians, it talks about our battle dress. The sword. The sword is what? The Word of God. Have you ever heard that analogy of, hey, you got an hour to chop down as many trees as you can? And the rookie goes out there, and then the old guy spends 30 minutes sharpening his axe. And the other guy's like, I'm beating you, I'm going to beat you. But with a sharp axe, the rest of the time he's able to outperform. Listen to me. If that sword is the Word of God, how sharp is your sword? Are you spending time sharpening it? Right? Sharpening it. Man, we got to sharpen our sword. So, going back to this, he has delivered us, meaning what? Everybody that was born of Adam is in darkness, yeah? You have to be delivered. Now, check this out. If we're all in darkness, can I deliver you from the darkness if I'm in the darkness? If I were to, well, it wouldn't work right now, but if it was nighttime and I were to shut all the lights out, right? We're all in the darkness. Are we going to be able to deliver each other? No, we're the blind leading the blind. So check this out. Who delivers us? The light. God. God is the one that delivers people out of the darkness. That's huge. Don't think you save anybody, church. Even though you share the gospel invitation. You know, you can always check somebody's heart because they'll be like, yeah, I shared the gospel and 10 people came to the Lord today. As if your gospel did it. No, it's Jesus' gospel. Now, you have a reward, unless you just took your reward by saying, hey, 10 people received. That's why I kind of don't like everybody stand. If you want to receive the gospel, let's stand. If you want to receive Jesus, let's stand. Now, people will push back on me and go, well, you're supposed to know. You're supposed to make a confession with your mouth. But the problem is I'll be out there going, man, Heidi, 3 people stood up today because of my message. Yes! I don't want that. I got to guard my heart, church. So you know what I do? Hey, it's between you and the Lord. Close your eyes. I don't want to know. Right? And now, it's awesome if you share that with me, but I got to guard my heart. Because I don't want it to be about anything other than Jesus. And even if I'm good, I'll have somebody from the older board be like, man, you gave that message and 3 people gave their life to the God. Yes. Ah, don't do that to me. And by the way, during the meet the pastor thing, we'll talk about this, but when it comes to tithes, I have no idea. 13 years I've been here and I've never once known who's given what, and I don't care. I don't care. I have to protect myself from that because it's not about that. And it's such an easy trap to get into. It's an easy trap. You have to set up your defenses. Because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Mr. Joe, we don't have a Joe here, so I can say that. Joe. Hey, Bill, Joe gave, you know, $50,000 this week. Now, unconsciously, guess what I'll do next week? Hey, Joe, how you doing? Man, it's good to see you. I don't want that to happen, right? But the point is the world is in darkness. And this also indicates, listen, that there is such a thing. There is such a thing. The Word of God says that we have been delivered from the power of darkness, meaning that there is such a thing as the kingdom of darkness, and it has power. Another great study that we did just recently was the kingdom study. Because through the kingdom study, and all this stuff is online, guys. You can go back and re-listen to it. Through the kingdom study, you understand that's what the Bible is. It's a battle of kingdoms. Kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. Everybody is born into this kingdom of darkness. Now, if you're in this darkness, we already kind of talked about it. But you don't really know who you are because you're blind. You don't really know where you've come from. You don't know. You don't know where you are. And you don't know where you're going. Doesn't that explain a lot with the crazy thinking that our world comes up with? Understand this. They're in darkness. They were born that way. They're lost in the woods. You may have heard me say this before too. Don't be mad at a snake for being a snake. Right? When the snake does things that a snake does and you're like, stop being a snake. It's like, I can't help it. It's what I am. We had this conversation this morning with our dog as Heidi's talking to the dog. I'm like, you think that dog understands English? Most people don't even understand English. And of course she says, yes, she does. She has no idea what you're saying. You're just wah, 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 wah. If you're in darkness, you can't be mad at somebody who's lost in the dark. They're a snake. This is revolutionary in your thinking. When you're looking at a lost world and you're mad at them for being a sinner, they're in darkness, church. They're in the kingdom of darkness, and check it out, they are under the power. There's power there, church. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against what? principalities and the powers of darkness. Welcome to church, where we're going to start equipping you as an army of the light. Wow. Very important. Then when you become a creation of light, now what? You understand God created you. This is where you came from. You understand that the origin is God. You understand where you are. You're in a dark world. And you understand where you're going. This is the stuff that you hang on to when your life's falling apart. And all of this is because of Christ. So you see now where we started with the preeminence of Christ and what that means. Because this is what he has done. He is superior to everything else because he is the one that qualified you to be a partaker of the inheritance. He is the one that brought you out of the darkness and made you light. And he is the one, in verse 14 as we close, who has redeemed you through his blood. Point number three. In whom? Christ is the whom. We have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. The redemption of love. And you should already have understanding with that, because we talked about it more at the front end. Right? He redeemed us. He exchanged his life. He turned in his life. Living perfectly under the law and gave it to you. He took your sin and he gave you your righteousness. There was a transaction there, a redemption. You see, in the Old Testament, the only way to wash, to remove sin, was through the shedding of blood shown to us first in Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve fell, right, when they created the sin that caused all the problems, and by the way, you can't be mad at them, because if you were in the garden, you'd have done the same thing. Okay? So, just ask yourself that question, because how are you doing now? And you're not even living in paradise. Oh, but if I did. No, you wouldn't. If I lived with Jesus with the 12. Yeah, no, you wouldn't. They didn't either. When he fell, in Genesis chapter 3, they attempted to fix it. And they sewed together the leaves, right? Man's first act of religion. I'm trying to get right. My actions are going to get me right with God. And God said, yeah, that, put that away. And God went and killed an innocent animal and took a life and made them a tunic of their skin, a covering of their skin. So an innocent thing had to pay the price for Adam and Eve's sin, and the innocent flesh covered the sin. God did that. Do you see that picture? And then later, John the Baptist would point upon Jesus and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world," because he will become that tunic for you. That's what he did through his blood. He had to shed his blood so that the forgiveness of sins would happen, and then that forgiveness is transmitted, given to you. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's it. Isn't that cool? I love that song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Right? Some good stuff there. So as we close today, one of the greatest things we can do is celebrate who he is. Because just like I started off with, Because who he is, if we are an inheritance of that, that's who we are. Through him, okay? We're we receive the inheritance as an heir. That's the cool thing. Man, as Jesus lives, as so I. So when you have thanksgiving for your Lord, we know why. Because he has qualified me to be a partaker of the inheritance. Because he has received me or snatched me out of the darkness and has given me the light. And he has redeemed me and washed away my sins. That's who he is. And that's why we worship him. And that's why we do what we do. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? It's not if you want the inheritance, you'll keep my... No, that's already taken care of. Now, if you can demonstrate your love, it's by walking in the light. That's what that means. Totally different perspective. So as we close today, I want that just to soak in. Soak in who he is and what he's done. Because you're standing at the pool and he's saying, jump, I got you. And I can only jump in faith when I grasp this. Okay, Lord, here I come. Boom, here I go. Pretty amazing stuff. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful, empowering message telling us about who Christ is and who we are, therefore, in Christ. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just fill each and every one of us overflowing this morning. Just that we would soak in this, that you would speak to our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirit, everything of who we are in Christ. Lord, we thank you for deliverance of us. For I was blind, I was in the darkness, but now I see. And because of you, I have been set free. Lord, thank you for that. Bless this church, Lord. Equip and empower your army for you, Lord. And we do all of this unto your glory and in your name only, the name of Jesus, we say, amen.